He had a Hall of Fame career on the field.
Paul Molitor is the first player in the history of baseball to get a triple on his 3,000th hit.
And now he's making out the lineup card for his hometown team.
I'd like to introduce the 13th manager of the Minnesota Twins, Paul Molitor.
This is the Paul Molitor Show. Your chance to hear directly from the manager on the state of your team. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Atterbury and Jack Morris.
Well, good morning. Happy Sunday to you. Chris Atterbury, Jack Morris, live in studio here at Target Field. We'll be connecting with Paul Molitor momentarily. He is in Chicago as the Twins try to finish off a series, a rubber match against Chris Sale and the Chicago White Sox. Cal Gibson is on the mound, also trying to wrap up what would be another winning road trip. And Jack Morris, last road trip, the long one, started with three straight tough losses in New York. They came back and they ran the rest of the table. Anytime you go on the road for 9 or 10 games and you come home with more wins than losses, especially with two first-place clubs on the docket, boy, you'd have to be pretty happy with the result.
No question. I think the key to that was the fact they went down and played Houston. They didn't win that series, but they played them well. They could have won it very easily. First-place club at the time, and then they go to Kansas City and do win a series against the Royals. Chicago is a team that I feel the Twins are better at, so today it's a very much-needed win to win that series. But, yeah, you come home and are above 500, you're still in the race. With that being said, Chris, I think we're closing into that time of year where games that you can pick up ground on, such as last night's game, Texas lost, the Twins lost. The Twins had a chance to pick up that game and even up with Texas in the wild card, and you're losing those opportunities because there's probably only going to be a handful of those left the rest of the year where you can actually make up ground.
We welcome Paul now into the conversation. And, Paul, good morning.
Hey, you guys. Good morning.
Morning, Paul.
Well, we talked about last night, just one of those nights. It started off a little sloppy on their side and then got a little sloppy on the Twins' side. Is that one, again, you just kind of flush away and focus in on a tough task of seeing Chris Sale today?
Well, you know, it's something you want to turn the page from, but I will have to say that, I think that the people in our clubhouse need to understand that, yes, you're going to have, you know, some performances where things aren't right and don't go well, whether it's on the mound or in the batter's box or on the bases, but you got to pause and you got to think about it. Did you do everything you could to prepare for that game? What things maybe we've done a little bit differently? You know, there's some mistakes out there that, that you see that are going to cost you in games that are played well by the other team. And I think we have to understand that with not that many chances left, we're going to try to avoid that as much as possible.
Paul, you've got a better grasp on all of those kind of things than anybody else. Are you feeling like the guys are getting what your points are to them, that they should pause and that they are pausing and taking a look at and reflecting back after a game like that?
I think they are, Jack. I know that we're just humans who are out there trying to perform at a professional level athletically. And I think there's a combination. We know the games are big. You don't make excuses. You're not tired. It's a long road trip, so what? You got to go out there and play. I think the fact that we got banged batting practice the last couple of days, there's a lot of guys that have been in the clubhouse 5-6 hours a day the last couple of days. You know, I think you get out there and there's going to be a tendency to – maybe be a little bit out of sync, and that's kind of some of the areas I saw things show up in. And, it was too bad because we did get off to a lead right out of the chute, and Tommy looked like he was throwing the ball well, but, you know, Quintana settled in, and we just couldn't contain him. I guess in the spirit of the NFL opening weekend, we decided to give him a touchdown there in the fourth inning, and then we couldn't recover.
Paul, you just mentioned something I think it's important for a lot of the listeners to understand, and that is baseball is a game of routine, and the fact that there was no batting practice and guys have to sit around for long times kind of anxiously awaiting to play ball. Talk a little bit about what it's like, especially late in the year for a young team.
I do think the routines are important. I think that I have tried to learn from other people that have been in this position about, you know, when you try to make good decisions about how much work you're going to do on the field and when you want to back the guys off and try to keep them fresh and still feel like you're want them to pay attention to detail. So, you know, I'm kind of always trying to get the pulse on that and what's best. For example, today, after not hitting the last couple of days and not the last day in Kansas City and an off day in between, we're going to go out and take a Sunday batting practice today, which we haven't done very much the second half of the season. You know, amidst all that, you have your extra call-ups and they're not getting a lot of playing time, and they do need the extra work, so you get them out early in the afternoon and all those type of things. But, I think our clubs handle all that stuff fairly well, Jack. I had a nice talk with Torrey after the game last night about some of the things, and we're just trying to make sure that the message gets across about, you know, if we get beat, we get beat. Let's try to make sure that we're ready to play every game regardless of the circumstances, pregame routine, rain delays, whatever it might be.
Paul Molitor, it's the Paul Molitor Show. We're going to take our first break. If you'd like to join us, you have a question for Paul, it's 877-38-TWINS. That's 877-388-9467. We'll catch our breath back in a moment on your home for Twins baseball.
We bought a house.
We found the one.
Here to stay.
Permanent.
Rooted.
Residence.
Relocated. I've been relocated.
In a short-term world, trust your home mortgage to a long-term bank. U.S. Bank offers the rates and products that fit your life. Visit a branch, usbank.com/mortgage, or call 855-434-HOME to talk to an experienced mortgage loan originator today. Mortgage loans subject to credit approval. Interest rates and program terms are subject to change. Deposit and mortgage products are offered by U.S. Bank, National Association, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.
This is Dave St. Peter, president of the Minnesota Twins, on behalf of Minnesota Eye Consultants. Minnesota Eye is the preferred ophthalmology group of the Minnesota Twins and is a generous supporter of the Minnesota Twins Community Fund. I had my corrective eye surgery at Minnesota Eye, as have several of our players and support staff. If you have special eye care needs or wish to learn more about vision correction without glasses or contacts, contact Minnesota Eye Consultants. Go to MNEYE.com. For your eyes, do what the Twins do. And see Minnesota Eye.
Hi, this is Twins third baseman Trevor Plouffe, and I've been told I have the best hair in baseball. I've also been told that I know the best sausage and bratwurst in baseball, Sheboygan sausage. Only Sheboygan bratwurst and sausage is handcrafted the old-fashioned way, in small batches, using fresh, high-quality ingredients. Enjoy Sheboygan sausage at Target Field and at home. Sheboygan stadium-quality bratwurst and sausages are available at grocery retailers everywhere. Come on, guys.
The way you taste is simply divine. I got Sheboygan on my mind. Sheboygan.
Baseball season is finally here, and now is the time to check out DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of the Minnesota Twins. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. It's a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with injured players or poor performers. Just pick two pitchers and eight position players, stay under the salary cap, and you can win huge cash prizes. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code MNTWINS to play for free. That's MNTWINS at DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of the Minnesota Twins.
This is the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Welcome back to the Paul Molitor Show. Chris Atterbury, Jack Morris, Paul Molitor in Chicago. Twins tango with the White Sox. Final game of this 9-game road trip. Rubber match of a 3-game series. Paul's been answering our bad questions all year long, so we'll let Kelly ask the questions. Kelly's in White Bear Lake. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, Chris. Paul, just curious to know what you do or what you say do with especially the young players who've never been in a wild card race like that, to keep them focused with just 3 weeks left to go in the season and us being a game back in the wild card chase, because they've been really doing a good job of being focused and playing. This is their first experience and something they'll take with them this year and beyond.
Well, thanks for your question. It's something that I haven't felt a need to address collectively as a team as we head into these final stages. There's a lot of, you know, sometimes maybe one on three with a couple of guys I'll bring in, or maybe one on ones. You know, you try not to overly, you know, bring to light the fact that, you know, this is a big deal, having a chance to play in these kind of games, especially if it's your inaugural season, you know, because you don't want to start them to overthink those things. So, but you talk to them about just being themselves, you know, doing the unselfish things that they need to every day to try to help their team win. You know, you can only prepare guys so much for going through something like this. They have to go out there and kind of live it. Some guys can respond right away. Some guys it might have a little bit more of an effect on, but, you know, that's how you grow. And I think for the most part, you know, all our guys, including our least inexperienced guys, are doing fine. They're finding ways to show up and for the most part have played the same game that they have all year.
Good question, Kelly. We appreciate your call. If you've got a question for Paul, 877-38-TWINS, that's 877-388-9467. Paul, your outfielders, you've got four starting caliber outfielders out there, and you've juggled them masterfully. You got Torrey's bat going a little bit. You've got some defensive options. Aaron has shown his versatility and also nailed down the top of the order spot. But I know it's not a simple decision on a daily basis which of those four guys you deploy and where. What is the process? Can you shed some light on kind of what you look at on a daily basis in terms of how you're going to use those four men?
Well, it's not magical. I try to look at it the best I can. I get input from our coaches. I try to keep the players abreast of how I'm thinking. I think they all know that right now, they when they see their name, they get ready to play, and then they cheer for the other guys when they're not. You know, I like it when we have defense out there, especially if we got our fly ball guys on the mound. But I do have to be concerned with offense at the same time, and so I want people to have a chance, at least a relatively good chance, matching up against who we're facing. You know, Aaron's done well from both sides of the plate. I'm trying to find ways to get him in there almost every day. You know, Torrey, you know, he's had a little bit of a rough stretch after the break, but he seems to be responding now. I want to acknowledge the fact that, you know, he's a guy, experience is a big thing in these games. We know that. Rosario's done fine, and you know, Buxton's still kind of feeling his way offensively, but, man, you can tell what a difference when he's in the outfield. So kind of a long answer. You know, today Buxton's going to sit. He hasn't had much success against Sale, and I'm trying to find a little offense out there, so we'll go with the other three and see how it works out.
Paul, similar type question dealing with your pitching staff. You've got a situation where your best pitcher right now in Santana will not be available for the postseason because of his violation of the drug policy. You've got Phil Hughes going to maybe make a start in Minnesota against Detroit. You skip Tyler Duffy because of his innings and stuff like that. So you've got a little bit of an issue in how you want to put together the starting rotation. As we move forward for the rest of these last couple weeks, have you got that pretty much dialed in as for the rest of the year, or is it just kind of week to week?
Well, I you know, we do have a blueprint for the rest of the year, Jack. It's probably going to change. It's just the way it is when you're dealing with, you know, games late in the season. You know, there's potential rainouts situations. There's a lot of things that can change it. You know, the Phil Hughes situation, it was tough. You know, there was talk about getting him out and pitching some innings in a minor league game here in the playoffs or something. But, you know, he's a guy that I feel can possibly respond in a really positive way, despite the fact he's been out almost 5 weeks. And so I want to try to get him back in there. Duffy, you know, I don't want to make too big a deal about the innings, but you do have to, you know, you don't want a kid to get hurt and have that hanging over your head if you overextend him. But he feels well. We're just going to try to space him out a little bit. But I do like, you know, having Santana in there as much as we can. Gibson's done fine. You know, Tommy's had a little bit of a hiccup last night, but he's thrown the ball really well. So, you know, you look at that, you look at matchups, you look at, you know, how guys have done in, at home and away and against different teams. But you can only do so much in a limited amount of time. We only have one off day before the end of the season now. So every day is important, and we're just going to try to figure out how to give us the best chance every day that we go out there and compete.
Paul, the one guy you didn't mention is Mike Pelfrey. He did not equate in the recent round of starting rotation. Is he going to be out of the pen here for a week or so, or how do you plan on using him the rest of the way?
Well, it wasn't by design to leave him out of that conversation. We liked how he threw in Kansas City. He had his best velocity that we had seen in a while. His off-speed pitches were a little bit more effective, especially early in that game. We're trying to keep him strong, too. There's a good chance that we're going to get him back in there sometime during the homestand. Like I said, there's a few guys we're trying to keep fairly regular in their rotation, and two or three of the other guys we're just kind of filling in as the fit matches up with our need.
Now it's that time of year. Everybody's got to do their part, whatever it might be, whatever is called upon on a given day. Paul Molitor is our guest. We'll take another break. We're back on the Paul Molitor Show in a moment on your home for Twins baseball. We'll be right back.
When you were a little kid and you thought about what you wanted to be, teaching was at the top of your list. But things changed. And as you got older, teaching didn't seem like the best option anymore. So you're thinking you'll be something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Now you want to be a doctor. You don't think teachers save lives? 25 at a time. An actress? Try playing a different role every time the bell rings. How about a scientist? Ever heard of physics? Chemistry? Who do you think teaches that? Teachers today are breaking down obstacles, finding innovative ways to instill old lessons, and taking learning far beyond the four walls of the classroom. It's time to recognize that great things are happening in teaching and put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Get that old clunker out of the garage. By donating your vehicle through the Twins Community Fund, you're actually turning your car into new equipment and playing fields for thousands of youth baseball and softball players across Twins territory. From giving inner city youth access to the game to renovating that rundown baseball field in your hometown, your gift makes a huge difference. To learn more and make a donation, visit twinscommunityfund.org. That's twinscommunityfund.org.
My suit can still make an impression.
And my lamp can bring others a bright future.
Because when I donate my stuff to Goodwill, it helps fund job placement and training for people right in my community.
Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Make Sundays family fun days at Target Field. Kids ages 14 and under can receive not-hold tickets in select sections courtesy of Super America, get autographs, and run the bases after the game.
Welcome back to the Paul Molitor Show. Paul is in Chicago. The Twins taking on the White Sox. Kyle Gibson versus Chris Sale. We go to East Grand Forks now, where Dan is joining us. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Congratulations, Paul, on a fine season. I've watched more Twins games this year than I did the last 3 years. My question to you, Paul, is do you think you should have pulled Tommy Malone a little sooner than you did? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Well, those are questions that you ask yourself on a daily basis when you look at how games unfold and if you left people in too long or pulled them too early or if you should have pinch hit or should have done something differently. You know, Tommy, the way he was throwing and the people that he was facing during that rally by the White Sox, I thought were all fairly good matchups for him. It wasn't a matter of him not being fresh. We all know he was still fairly low on his pitch count. And it's, you know, who are you going to bring in to try to stop the bleeding there? I kept thinking that he was a pitch away from getting a double play or something that might shorten the inning. You know, I'm certainly aware of how the people who are he's facing in those situations, how they've done, and I feel he has a better than reasonable chance of getting people out. You know, looking back after you see the results, sure, you can say, yeah, well, we could have got him out there a couple hitters early. But, you know, you're still trying to picture something positive for Tommy to figure something out and find a way to get off the field.
Appreciate the call from East Grand Forks. And, Paul, kind of a very separate topic, not game specific. In September, suddenly after playing a certain brand of baseball for 5+ months, 40-man rosters, and now let's say your starter gets blown up, first game of a series, you've got all this bullpen depth, extra arms you can throw, you can mix and match early, you can have, like the Royals do, you know, two designated pinch runners to use throughout the game. It's a totally different way of managing 9 innings on a given night. Do you like that change of expanding the rosters in September and changing kind of the options for a manager, or would you prefer it to stay 25 guys all the way through?
Well, I'm learning that September baseball, with the amount of people on various teams that you play, and including your own team, it does change the dynamic of considerations throughout a ball game. You know, you have to be a lot more concerned about everything from pinch runners and pitch hitters and how many guys they can run out there on the mound and trying to have your matchups ready to counter and all those type of things. I'll have to get through the month and kind of make my final verdict on that. I do think it's a little strange that one team might have 37 guys, another team might have 29 guys, and I don't know if there's ever been any thought about trying to standardize that a little bit more. But yeah, it does change the dynamic of a game and how you manage it and things that you have to consider about what you're trying to do throughout the course of a game.
Paul, we're going to take our last break. When we come back, though, we'll talk about today specifically. Sale Gibson should be a whole lot of fun at U.S. Cellular Field. We'll talk about that when we come back for one final segment on the Paul Molitor Show. This is your home for Twins baseball.
This fall, the last place you want to be is at the mechanic. So get a certified pre-owned Ford during the Ready Check Go Fall Sales event and don't worry about a thing. Every certified pre-owned Ford has to pass a 172-point inspection by factory-trained technicians and comes with a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 12-month, 12,000-mile limited warranty. Ford Credit also offers 1.9% APR financing for 66 months on select vehicles. Don't miss a thing this fall in a certified pre-owned Ford. Don't miss out. Go online to NorthlandFord.com, then visit your local Northland Ford dealer during the Ford Certified Pre-Owned Fall Sales Event today. See your dealer for limited warranty coverage details. Vehicle availability varies by dealership. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 1.9% APR for 66 months at $1,597 per month for $1,000 financed on select vehicles regardless of down payment. Take delivery from dealer stock by 9/30/15. Residency restrictions may apply. See dealer for qualifications and details.
While a cow eats 25 pounds of hay each day, a Case IH round baler can bale 450,000 pounds of hay in a day. And while cattle have only one job to do, a Maxim Series tractor has 70 tools and attachments to help you do any job. Sure, cattle bring in the profits, but for every other job you need to get done, count on Case IH equipment. Visit your local Case IH dealer or caseih.com/livestock.
You're listening to the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Back to the Paul Molitor Show. Jack Morris, Chris Atterbury here in the studio. Paul's in Chicago for the final game of a three-game set, hoping to win the series. Good pitching matchup again today, Paul. Kyle Gibson's going back out there. And I think in most people's opinion, Kyle just hasn't quite got back to where he was just before the All-Star break, where he was pitching his best ball of the year. And then you're facing a guy, Chris Sale, who's towing the rubber for the, I think, sixth time against you today, and you've had his number pretty much this year. Do you think there's advantage for your ball club, knowing that when he's one of the premier pitchers in the game and yet you've given him a little frustration? Or do you feel like Chris is due for a gem against your club today and you don't know what to expect?
Well, I don't know what to expect, Jack. That's, you know, the old cliche. That's why you got to play the game. It's not too often when you play a team six series throughout a year and you get one guy in all six of those series, but that's been the case with Chris. We have done, you know, fairly well against him considering how the rest of the league is matched up. I'm sure that it sticks in his crow a little bit about the fact that the Twins have been a thorn in his side for this season. How he'll respond today, I'm not sure. I don't think our guys are, you know, they don't get overly giddy because we get to face Chris Sale. It's just another competition that you face against one of the premier pitchers. And hopefully you can find some of the things that has enabled you to score some runs on him in the previous games carries over to today. You know, Gibby, you know, he did have that really nice run before the break. He has shown signs along the way of pitching well here in the second half. You know, the Kansas City game, giving up those four and then throwing a complete game. I'm hoping that some of the things he found he was able to do the last seven innings of that outing, you know, carry over today. But, you know, this time of the year, you don't worry about too much of those type of things. You know, it's just a matter of how we're going to play today. How are we prepared? Are we going to give ourselves a chance to win? And mostly that starts with how your starting pitcher performs.
One thing I noticed, Paul, and I don't know if it's been brought up to you with Neil Allen, your pitching coach, but it seems like Kyle Gibson's had a little bit of his struggles early in the ball games, and a lot of the great starting pitchers in the history of the game have had similar problems. But for me, the way Kyle responded after that tough first inning, and then he was able to shut down, his sinker was really sinking after that first inning, and it just led me to believe that maybe he should throw a little bit longer in the pen in his pregame and maybe get a little physically more tired so that ball has better movement. Has that been addressed? Has Neil talked to you about that at all?
Not that specifically. I think, you know, you look at different pitchers, even in Twins history. Brad Radke was a classic guy that people like to say he's got to figure out how to get through the first inning and then he's fine. And Kyle, it hasn't always been the first inning. You know, sometimes it's the second or third where he'll put up a number. You know, the other night he just, you know, it's two pitches in, he's first and third and nobody out.
Yeah.
And two pitches that he didn't get down on his own and they were ready to attack him. And it just, you know, kind of all of a sudden you're on the defensive mode and they put up a big number on you. So with his stuff, obviously the sinker working is a big part of it. You know, I think he tries to like to get strike one. That's an important part of what he does. And maybe he has to figure out a little bit more intelligently how to get in front of a team, especially one that's going to come out there and be as aggressive as the Royals were.
Paul, when we spoke last week, you were talking about this time of year, you shouldn't need to tell anybody to get them fired up. They should be excited to come to the ballpark, excited to play every single day. First year managing, how excited are you to come to the ballpark every day, being in the thick of something, games that matter? How much fun is this for you, trying to figure out a way to get that W every day?
Well, it's fun. You know, I've had plenty of experience as a coach now, and, you know, you always feel there's that separation between the days when you're able to go out there and actually influence something on the field as opposed to trying to make good decisions to help your players win a game. But it's been exciting. You know, the fact that we've been able to hang in there, it's just the club's confidence, the ability that we have now being, you know, one game back with 20, whatever it is, 21 to go. It makes the job really fun. You don't put extra pressure on yourself. You try to stay somewhat calm and look at what we're trying to accomplish every day out here. But, you know, everyone, I think, in some ways gets worn down. I remember Jack saying as a player, it's more of a mental grind than a physical grind. But when the games start, the adrenaline kicks in. You know, I think everybody's excited about the fact that we have a chance to play meaningful games here in mid-September.
All right, well, you go get your club ready to play one today. We appreciate your time and insight, as always, and good luck with the Sox.
Okay, guys.
Thanks,
have a
Paul.
Good one. All right. I'll see you. Yeah.
Paul Molitor, we got about 40 seconds here, Jack, but I tell you what, he always has insight and levels of complexity in his thinking about things that are just fun to hear. And you know better than anybody, this time of year, it's great to put that uniform on and have a chance to do something meaningful every day.
Well, point well taken. I think if you can't get excited about chances of being in postseason this time of year, you shouldn't be in this game.
And on a side note, I'm already tired, so I have great sync. The rest of the day, my sync is there because I'm already exhausted. If you missed any part of the show and you want to go back and listen to it, you can find us online at twinsbaseball.com. A reminder, just after noon, it's Inside Twins. Pre-game lineup card at 12:30. First pitch just after 1. Spend your Sunday with us all across the network. For Paul and Jack, I'm Chris. This is your home for Twins baseball.
This has been a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.